Hello and welcome to another edition of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance, episode number 118. I am your host, oh dear God, Joey Frachein Weichnein and Unglushninisjardis.
Sounded perfect to me.
How'd I do?
100% wrong.
All right. Hey, that's what happens when there's a lot of accents above letters and I cannot understand them. Sean, you win.
Ah, da bi fröhliche Weihnachten und ein glückliches neues Jahr, Joy.
Jahr.
Did you stay up all night doing that?
I know a little bit of German.
Okay.
Well, of course, that is Sean Epperson of Thing 12 Games who has wrecked my life today.
Oh, hey, hey.
I think the real question is do you need to do some editing? Maybe you want to get the translation.
Might have to do some editing. Yeah, that's a good point, Josh. Josh Utley of the Omega Gamers.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great. Vicky B is on assignment. On today's episode, we're going to talk PAX Unplugged because there was a debacle that went down with our two lovely gentlemen in studio. And I'm going to tell you, it might be a sad story. We'll talk about games played, but until then, Josh, how can the Geek Nationals get a hold of us?
Well, pretty easy. Just go to bjgeeknation.com. You'll find all our blogs.
Our blogs. Plugs.
Our plugs.
Our plugs. Schnog and yarn.
Bod? Okay. You'll find our blogs, our bogcasts.
Yes.
It's highly isolated to people who live in swampy areas. Our interviews, videos, links, and more.
Schmlore.
Just search for us on all the socials. You know what they are. Or check out Odyssey.com. That's AUDACY.
Odyssey. Yes, you can find all our great stuff in our schlogs and blogs and schnoggins, BJGeekNation.com. But as we had mentioned a little while ago, PAX Unplugged was happening. And you guys had been hyping it up. You had bought tickets. You had packed board games. You had tried to get on a plane. What happened?
We planned travel days.
Yeah.
Because we don't like to last minute this.
Yes.
We want to be rested, ready to go.
Yeah. I was stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The airline had other ideas.
Oh, did they decide that people named Josh and Sean had to, fly?
Here in Seattle, the news decided to tell us that on Thursday, there could possibly be some snow down south.
Oh, no.
And when they say possibly, they were like, maybe an inch. So Alaska Airlines is, snowpocalypse, cancel all flights.
Wait, so you guys planned this whole trip out.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And the weatherman has screwed you.
Yes.
Yes.
And they canceled your flight. So you did not make it down there?
The Wednesday before our flight, we got a notice that said, hey, your flight's canceled, due to weather that may or may not and did not happen.
So you're saying your little iPhone beeped and you're like, oh, my little iPhone, what message do you have for me today?
Yep.
And it was like, beep, screw you guys, no flight for you.
Yep.
Well, even better was when Josh and I got our flights, Josh also got one for his daughter. All three of us were going, and then we found out a little later that my daughter was going to be able to join us. We're like, oh, cool. It'll be four of us. They'll be able to hang out together. So we bought her a ticket. Josh got a notification that your flight is no go. Just full on, you're done.
It doesn't exist anymore.
My daughter got a notification that her flight was moved to Saturday with her arriving at 3 p.m.
Because that's convenient. No one ever wants to arrive on the day they expect to arrive on.
Exactly.
Later, sure, yeah, that'll be fine.
We'll move you out 2 days, put you out in the evening. So even if she was going to go just by herself, she would be there for a day. And so I had to call them, that's not going to work. She's not going to have a hotel to stay at because we're not going to be there. Her family's not going. You need to figure this out because changing her flight isn't helpful.
Now, Alaska did refund fairly quickly. So
there is a silver lining.
The hotel, on the other hand, and some companies and their extra bonuses that do pay for don't pay for those.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because we didn't get our hotel money back.
Oh, my gosh. What a nightmare. And all because of the weather, not even because of health or...
No, all because of maybe weather. Maybe weather that wasn't.
Look, the snowman that comes down from the sky, he's a scary beast, You roll the wrong die, next thing you know, Sean's driving your airplane, straight into the ground. So You did make it to PAX Unplugged.
We did not.
But did that stop you from board gaming that weekend?
It did not.
I didn't think it would. Because for those of you who don't know, BJ was not going on this trip with you. And, well, you guys do tend to do a lot of board gaming with BJ. So does that mean that you fell into a table with him?
Friday and Saturday, Sunday at Sean's house.
Oh, yep. My God. So you said, snow be damned, there will be gaming.
Well, let's be clear. There was no snow.
Yeah, well, regardless of the fake snow that was going to show up, we will be at someone's house gaming.
Yes.
Okay, well, then that means you've got games played, I'm sure.
We do. We have more than a ton.
We have quite a few. So first one I'd like to talk about is First Empires by Sandcastle Games. First Empires is a civ-building game that plays in under an hour, which is pretty unheard of.
Say civ-building?
Civ-building.
Yeah. In under an hour?
In under an hour.
So how did that
to
work?
To clarify, still plays in under an hour, even with BJ playing.
Yeah.
That is impossible. No game is under an hour when BJ's playing. We know that because, I mean, there's breaks, there's food, there's about a 30-minute conversation on why you shouldn't attack him because he's in last place.
And right in the middle of important rules, that's when I find a perfect time to remind him about this week's episode of whatever I'm watching.
Of course, right? This week's episode on Josh pisses off BJ.
That too.
So First Empires... you have a map of the world, and it's sectioned out into different colors. Each faction is their own color. They have a base that they start off, and it is a dice rolling mechanic. So you're going to roll dice, and you're going to, based on how many dice you have at the start of your game, you'll be able to increase the number of dice you get. You get up to three rolls, and the results of your dice are going to indicate what you are able to advance in your civilization. So are you going to increase your population, get more dudes? Are you going to increase your movement, be able to go farther with your people? Are you going to increase your card count, being able to get ways to score points, different achievements that you can do in the game? There's a system that also lets you get more rerolls for your dice. So you increase your population, you go out and you move, and if someone's in a space that you move to, you have a combat. And the combat's resolved very quickly. Basically, do you have more fighters there than the other person? There's a sword icon that is on the dice, and if you have a sword, that's basically an extra person. So, Joey, you could have three guys out in the space, and if I march in there with one dude, but I've got four swords, guess what? You're going bye-bye.
Well, you brought a lot of swords, and I didn't, so that's only fair.
So the interesting thing about this is some people don't like civ building games with the attacky because it's very can be a little swingy sometimes. Like, oh, I just lost all these guys. You do lose your guys, but you don't remove them from the board. They just go back to a place that you already exist to.
It's almost like a push mechanic instead of a kill mechanic.
Which can be interesting because if I attack you, Joey, and I kick you out of the spot, Josh is looking in an area that you had very few people at. Well, you just moved your guys back to an area that you were at. Now suddenly you're stronger in that location. And Josh is like, well, crap. Now I can't attack you there because you're stronger than me. So I got to kind of rethink my plan.
I retreated to my fortress. That'll show you, Josh.
Well, in that game, though, you naturally I need to defend all these things. Well, you don't. You just, your scoring chits on the board... And the way I play, and I've done well doing it, is I don't care about those. I'm going to lose them. Somebody's going to be bigger at some point. When you take chits properties from other people, you remove the chit from the board and bring it to you. Now it's yours. You can't lose that.
It's a secret scoring piece. So it's going to be usually a value from 1 to 3. You won't know what it is, and they don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm looking at the board. It's almost like a Risk board. Very simple. It's just like
a little bit,
planet. Or not planet, but countries, if you will.
But
continents.
If you just run around and try to pick up those tokens and then focus on, you get these cards, like Sean said, but you try to complete those goals on the card simultaneously, you can do very well.
Makes sense. And that's what makes it so fast. It's less about development of a world and more about exploration, it kind of seems like, where you go around and try to gather stuff and push people away.
Yeah, it can be, for sure, yeah. Some people like to turtle and just kind of up, because you also get points based on where you are on those tracks. So you can choose to do that as a way to score points, too. And you get some massive points if you get way up to the top on those tracks.
I love a game that gives you so many different ways to score points that all feel different.
Yeah.
You know, so like you said, you can have the turtling player or the exploring player. And in a civ building game, that's really unique. And under an hour, well,
yeah,
about an hour, that, I mean, that's unique. I can see why you guys probably enjoyed it, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a fun game to bring out. And it's super fast to teach people. And, you know, it's very engaging. Everybody's kind of, you know, messing with each other. But it's not too punishing because, like, you don't lose anything. You know, that's the upside.
It is on the light side, however.
Yeah.
Yes, so it does look like that.
If you're looking for a Civ game, traditional
if you
Civ
want to crunch down on some Civ.
This is not the game for you.
Now, the million-dollar question. Who won the game?
I've never won this game.
I've won twice.
Twice.
But I believe this day, JJ, our friend JJ.
Ah, JJ.
Crushed us.
Yeah, he did.
By a lot.
Wow. Well, you know, you can't always win them all.
And that's First Empires by Sandcastle Games.
Indeed.
What else was on the table for? Okay, so you said 3 days.
Three days.
3 days. I know. Are these 12-hour days? You laugh as if that's a small number, 12. Those Ricky numbers.
Sometimes they're 12, sometimes they're more than 12.
Oh, so what you're saying is there may be some more games played.
Oh, yeah. So I got a new board and dice game. You guys may have heard of the T-Series.
We have talked about the T-Series many a times.
Well, a new one just came out called Tiletum or Tiletum or...
You brought him, you Tiletum.
I think it's Tiletum.
Yeah. So, I'm still unclear. I've heard several different reviewers give several different pronunciations. But Board and Dice, well, you did it again.
Uh-oh.
It's another great T-Series game. Sean got to play this with me. BJ got to play this with me.
This game has so many pieces.
It seems like it, but the thing is... You need to get the actions to move things into your holding area, to move them into your buildings. So it's just a three-step process. But with the way this little rondel works and the way the dice mechanic, if you take a dice that's a high number dice, you're going to get a lot of that resource, but only the opposite in actions. So I get six resources, but only one action. Or if you take a low number dice, yeah, I get one resource that I kind of really need, but I get six of the associated action.
Interesting. Okay, so there's a little bit of planning out there for your turn, you know, based on what you need.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning out, and I really felt I was doing good.
Yeah.
I did not win, but I had a blast not winning.
So how many players did you play?
Four.
Four players. How long did it take, you think?
Well, at first play, it wasn't a cold play. I had read the rules. I think we were about it for about 2.5-3 hours.
Okay, that's
but
not bad.
That's us. Yeah. You know, you got to factor that in.
Look, the BGA board gaming speed is a little slower than some because we like to thoroughly enjoy our first experiences.
Well, yeah, and I believe I just watched a new episode of that show I like.
Yeah, the one with the dragons.
Yeah, BGA says 1 to 1.5 hours. That's probably accurate if everybody knows the game well.
If you're sane.
Yeah. If you're sane, yeah.
And you're not crazy like us.
Yeah, I mean, we get distracted easily. So definitely like it. Who ended up winning?
I cannot remember. I think BJ may have. I can't.
You've let BJ win.
You have these scores, Sean.
I've got them somewhere.
With the power of time travel.
Ding. You were the loser. No. I should program something like that into my phone. Every time I inputted like a score, it's like, congratulations, you lost again. It's like, stop throwing me shade, phone. I never won in any of these games. I think the only game I ever won was that one Zaya game that one time because I didn't fly into the sun.
Didn't you win Kemet?
I didn't Kemet the first time we played, yes.
But there's war elements. So
there's war elephants, but that was like cheating, yeah.
That's not cheating.
Because there were war elephants. And I like to ride the war elephant into battle. Game does look sweet. I was saying about how many pieces there are. They're not confusing, though, because they do look specific. I mean, I will say the iconography and the colors look great. They don't seem confusing. There's just a lot of them.
No, because you have these five or six houses, and each house can only have one type of person.
Oh, one worker. So okay.
Only one house can have the girl with the red hair. One house can have the pirate-looking dude. Of that type of people in it.
Yeah, like the I see all the tiles are like essentially one picture. So
yeah, and then all the other tiles, those are just one-off cool things you can get because you're traveling around this board. And the way scoring works in that is there's some festivals. You know where they're going to be, but you can't participate in
BJ
the scoring.
BJ won,
yay. Yeah. Boo.
Boo.
You can't participate in those scoring festivals unless you either had built a house in that city or your merchant is in that city at the festival time.
Oh, okay.
And you know what's going to score, so you got to be, oh, I got to get a few of those before scoring so I can get some points. So you score basically four different times, and then there's a little bit of endgame scoring.
That makes sense. Okay. So this is a very kind of plan out what you're going to be doing every turn and in advance.
But it didn't have a ton of AP.
Huh.
Because by your turn, you know, certain things are already taken. You get bonuses for doing things first. There might be some tiles you get quickly, and you get some little bonuses. I didn't find a lot of AP, though. It's not like you had 17 options on what to do on your turn. You just had a... You had a little bit of time, get a couple things, try to benefit you for the festival, and then, well, next round of festival somewhere else, you kind of have to change gears.
And AP for our Geek National listeners is?
Analysis paralysis.
There you go. That's
you can plan your turn a little bit. You're like, okay, I want to take this thing, but there's only a certain number, so if that goes away, this is my backup plan.
Yeah, and as far as T-Series ranking goes, this is up near the top for me.
Wow.
Probably not the absolute best because theming-wise, I prefer, like, the Egyptian stuff, the Takanu. And that's only based on theme.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but gameplay-wise, it's top tier.
That's great to hear. Before I ask you, Sean, another game you've played, I need to know, because 3 days of gaming, up all night, did BJ convince you guys to play La Resistance?
We played No Resistance.
No Resistance. I know, crazy.
No fighting, no arguing, no social deduction.
Oh, there was fighting and arguing.
Sorry. Yes, yes. How could I forget? It's board gaming.
Well, see, our Saturday, since we had nothing to do that weekend, we reached out to our buddy Spencer, and Spencer got in a new massive board game that we had cracked a few months ago.
Yeah.
And we got BJ there, and we played ISS Vanguard.
Guess what kind of game he played?
What kind of game it was?
Yes, like competitive or...
BJ. I'm going with it was a 4X space exploration game.
It is a cooperative game.
Whoa, no.
Of space exploration.
Okay, so there was some space involved. There's almost always space involved.
The only person that forgot this game was cooperative was Mr. Epperson.
Lies.
Sean, could you read for the audience what your t-shirt is says that you wore in today?
The way I wear today says, I put the cute in execute.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So what happened, Sean?
Well, if you're with a group of people and they're like, hey, we're going to go run and jump off this cliff and die, do you run and join them because you're their friend or you go, you guys go have fun. I'm going to stay back here and not die.
Sean, you've always struck me as a free thinker, not a lemming. So.
Exactly. So I'm
you didn't say not lie? Oh, okay.
Josh, everybody had this plan to go do this insane thing. I'm like, this is going to go poorly. No, this is even if I join you, this is going to go poorly. I'm going to stay back here and keep the ship warm.
Yeah,
you guys hiding, go to your craziness.
You keep hiding under that blankie there, buddy.
Sean was the stormtrooper that decided not to walk into doom.
So... ISS Vanguard is a space exploration game. Think away missions.
Okay.
That's what you're doing. You're flying around some solar systems, and you're away missioning to different planets. What's really fun about the game is no one is a character individually. You're not Joe Marine. You're the head of that section. You might be the head of security. You might be the head of engineering.
You are a title.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
So you get squad members. So for this mission, I might have Joe the Executioner. But this game is so massive that basically we're waking up people out of cryosleep as we need them. And if Joe goes on mission A, well, mission B, he's got to spend some time in the med bay recouping, getting around, or being memorialized on the wall. Sometimes Joe don't make it.
Joe don't make it back from the mission.
But when you come back, you do all these. You do a whole game of managing the ship and researching projects and discovering alien tech and recruiting members, waking them up, promoting them, upgrading the bridge and its command structure and all that. So that's a lot of fun in and of itself. But eventually, you need to be checking out these planets because, you know, a game has to happen. Well, we go and we have two options. And you tell me which option you would pick, sir.
Okay.
Option number one, Brimstone, is the name of the planet.
Uh-huh.
And it looks very red.
Red is hot.
Option
fire.
Number two, Matchstick.
Matchstick. Okay.
It's kind of green. Looks green. Looks very green.
Looks like Earth.
Where do you want to go? You want to go to Matchstick? You want to go to Brimstone?
I would go with the green planet.
Yeah. So would we.
Yeah. We chose Matchstick as well.
Sean's shaking his head, but it doesn't look like he's really shaking his head.
Sean wanted to go to Matchstick too.
I did.
What we did is we did the whole, let's overcomplicate things and not try to keep things simple for basically mission two of this game. See, they listed them in an order for a reason, and they listed Brimstone, then Matchstick.
Oh.
But you have the freedom to go to planets and leave planets and come back and, you know. Well, the going and coming back is not what board gamers usually do. It's go, dominate everything, win it all, come home heroes. And we knew we could leave these planets. Well, one, we went out of order, which you're allowed
always
to do.
Always a great start. Always a great start. You know when the little mission says start here and you're like, I'm going to start over there.
Yeah, and we had like no equipment, no anything. But we go to this planet and it's like, it even says this should be an easy mission. I'm like, yay, we're awesome. We go, we do the thing, and it says, hey, you're done. You can leave now.
Yes, you can leave now. You've completed your mission.
No, it didn't say you should leave now. It said you can leave now. But there's also this thing over there maybe you want to go look at. So we're like, we're strong. We got all our stuff. We got some extra stuff, some goodies, some stuff that tech we can go research. And we're like, well, let's do that. And me and BJ race off to the far reaches of the planet that it's really hard to get back from. And Sean is doing what we asked him to at the time.
And keep in mind, it wasn't just once that the game said, hey, you can bail now. Like, it was like two or three times that it brought up, hey, you can bail now.
On our way to the far reaches, we found, hey, big monster. We're like, oh, my God. So, you know what? I was there, BJ was there, and this has a great cooperative elements. Like, if we're all in a location, Joe, I got to make a roll. You both can contribute dice to that roll.
Oh, okay, sporting, yep.
A dice. But then after dice, there's a very organized list of how you do things. At one point, it's you guys can contribute a card.
Oh.
So if everybody's there and everybody contributes, it's kind of easy to do things. If everybody's there.
So you're saying
you have the potential to do things.
So someone was a little far behind is what you're saying.
The first monster, we one-shot him. It's like easy. Big and ugly and stupid.
Nice.
Like me. We beat him. And we're like, well, this is not that bad. Let's keep going to the far reaches.
Hey, do you want to go back to the ship?
It did say, you could leave now. It's okay.
Or?
Because the ship called us and said, hey, away team, we got some what we need, and maybe it's time to come back, but you don't have to. So we get deeper down on this planet, and another big monster appears. And we're keeping eye on the fact that this is a really hard spot to get back from.
Okay.
Sean's like, well, I'm going to be here at the ship. I'm our ship to go back to the main ship. He's like, well, I can keep getting this resource and just kind of milling about here. And Spencer's like, I'm with you guys. I'm on my way. So Spencer's like dying on the way to us.
Yeah, it's not like just walk there, right? There's challenges to get there.
And we're like, you know what, Sean? You need to come down and help us too. No, I'll never make it in time. I'm doing the math. I can't do it. It's not possible. You guys will be dead long before then.
Well, I was not in great health either.
He was fine.
He was in the blue. I didn't want my not the green, but not the red.
Well, we found a more massive monster. And we were not doing well against it. And had we had someone there to help us?
Lies.
So Sean was
lost.
Scientist slash pilot who decided to stay back to do his herbology research while you and adventurous BJ went off to go find loot.
Yes.
And you encountered giant monsters instead, which the first one, of course. I mean, that's the tease, right? The big evil monster always sends the stupid smaller evil monster out there to distract you. And so Sean was there the whole time, just watching from the ship, being like, guys, guys, mission control says we should go back. Why won't you listen? Did you die?
Well, so we determined, we mathed out how, if we could get back. We realized mistakes were made.
Yes.
After saying Sean couldn't do math, you then did the math. And we're like, who knew?
I maintain, had Sean went with us, we would have dominated and won the news. Galaxy.
Lies.
So what we did is we did that where board gamers, we're adults, we can do whatever the heck we want. And we're like, okay, well, we can't kill this guy. We'll just, Spencer, someone has to die. You die. You'll get to level up when you're immortalized. You get to level up somebody. And we'll just go back to the ship now and we'll just cut our losses, essentially. Well, the first thing it does is, okay, you're medvacking instead of just leaving, so you lose everything that you found, and you don't get to do any leveling up, and you know, all these penalties, and we're like, man.
Sean's just like, not my herbs!
When I said we should leave, we should have left.
So the very important lesson in this story is not listen to Sean.
Always press forward.
If you're playing ISS Vanguard, which I hope you are, don't be afraid to leave the planet. You can always come back.
Yes.
Do a little. Go back. Level up.
The planet will still be there.
It's a grind, but it's if you just do what you can and then go back, it's really not a grind because it's super fun doing all the little things.
So despite that first planetary, we'll call it an excursion, disaster might be a better word for it. What else? How'd the game go after that? Did you guys end up succeeding in your campaign?
It went to a lot of conversation about Sean not helping.
Oh, no.
We had wrapped it up at that point because we, that day we did a planet. We had done another planet anyway, and we did a ship mode, and we got a lot of equipment and a lot of stuff, and we were like, cool. So we were playing around with the stuff on the new planet where, Sean didn't participate.
That's okay.
There's a ton of characters in the game that all have different backstories.
Full backstories.
Like reasons why they're there and like the implication of their story continuing, which it can. I was also really impressed with the fact that in a space game, they actually have lots of different genders for their characters. So there's, you know, male and female. But I had a character that was using they in all of their backstory bio stuff. So, but they didn't like specifically call it out like this person's transgender, you know, or anything like that. It was just like, we're going to use they for this person's pronouns and referring to them. So it was very subtle, but just felt like this is a very inclusive game in a way that I wasn't, that just kind of like surprised me for a moment. Like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So the Vanguard is basically a planetary ship going to repopulate somewhere new. So it's got, very much like Lost in Space, there's certain crew members that were recruited for certain things, and you have to take the tests and blah, blah, blah. One of my squad members was a lady that was actually a cult fanatic who was secretly embedded to blow up the USS Vanguard.
You sure that wasn't Sean's character?
I'm sure. But it's not like a secret goal. It's not something I'm doing on the side. It's just part of her story, and it starts with... Well, after dealing with the Vanguard on what's been happening in the story so far, she hasn't decided to blow it up yet.
Oh.
Yet.
And it dun, dun, it dun. Yet.
Love it.
So
yeah, that's a lot of the characters. Sounds like you guys had a good time regardless.
It's a really neat story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, before we get out of here, I do want to know, weekend of gaming, what was your favorite game? And when is the next time you will be gaming? Because we are, I think we're right after the holiday break here, so... we still have a little bit of time off before the new year.
For that whole weekend, my favorite game, on Sunday we played Oathsworn.
Uh-oh. Look at the smile on his face, Sean.
Well, me and Sean, we played. We got a special unlocked character that was awesome.
Yeah.
And the way these stories change, they just take you in directions you can't possibly imagine. It is not wander around the city, kill a boss, wander around the city, kill a boss, wander around the city, kill. That would be boring and reductive after a while. But this, the story on this game is amazing. The story mode is amazing.
Yeah.
You just, I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm not going to, but you can't imagine where it takes you. You just can't.
So you're saying that, in a shock and a twist, Oath Sworn was Josh's favorite
shocking thing they did?
Next week on Oath Sworn, BJ Shea's Geek Nation Oath Sworn.
That's awesome. I know. I've only heard more good things about it. I'm glad that you guys are, I mean, that all the content is still, you know, providing that that powerful new experience that you want to get.
We've brought other players into it because you can just roll someone in that hasn't played before and go, okay, here's the backstory. Cool, you're caught up to speed. Now you can start playing.
And how? So, and they still enjoy the same kind of experience? Yeah. Nice.
Two new players yesterday.
Wow.
In BJ's campaign.
That's amazing. That's not an easy thing to do, to just throw new players in.
Well, we had one player that needed to go, and one of my nephews has been playing in me and Sean's campaign. Well, he came and stepped in until Sean could get there and take over again.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, that's
so
awesome.
Easy to jump in and jump out.
I love it. And what about you, Sean?
Gosh, this is going to be a weird one. So for me, my favorite was... not necessarily the game itself. The game itself is Hues and Cues. It's a game by the op. Basically, we're trying to select a color, and you're giving out clues to people. And if they get it right, then they get points, and you get points if people get it right. But the reason why that was my favorite is because I had posted our score up on Twitter, and the the designer responded back and said that was one of the lowest scores he'd ever seen.
Oh, no. That's awesome. Yeah, that's our group for you.
Yep. That's me right there.
The
Marlowe, baby.
Sean was involved, but don't worry. He didn't kill anyone on that adventure. Just low points.
Just like ours.
Oh, that's awesome. It sounds like you guys had a great time at Board Gaming, despite the tragedy that was PAX Unplugged.
Yes.
PAX Unplugged itself may have been awesome.
Who knows?
I hope it was.
I've heard good things.
That's okay. We have OrcaCon to look forward to, right?
Yeah, we do. Woo-hoo.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on a game-filled episode of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance. Of course, you can always catch us for more games at BJShea'sGeekNation.com. But until then, Josh?
Play nice. Or Sean, just play. Come on, help us. Help us, Sean. Don't just sit there.
Please.